The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed, to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our text today is the Gospel just read, Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our Gospel lesson this evening, we hear the story of the Magi, who came to Judea in search of the newborn Jewish king. In the Western Church, we know these men as the Three Kings, or the Three Wise Men. I remember a toy creche scene. It wasn't quite like that, a bit smaller. And it had wise men in it. Probably not correct, you know, Jesus was born and the wise men came later. But that's the way we do things. And the three kings were dressed in very fine clothes with crowns and jewels, and there were a couple of camels there too. One king looked to be Chinese to me. Another looked to be African. And the third looked to be Persian or Arabian. Well, this is the American version of the Magi. The Germans have more authentic Magi. At least they think they do. In 1164 AD, the Archbishop of Cologne, Reinald of Dassel, acquired the relics of the Drei Königin, that's German for the Three Kings, which the Holy Roman Emperor, Frederick Barbarossa, had taken from the Basilica of Sant Eustorgia in Milan, Italy. They stole it. It was important to church officials that the relics of the Three Kings be properly housed, and thus began a building program of a grand Gothic cathedral on the banks of the Rhine based on the French Cathedral of Amiens. Today, the Cologne Cathedral is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it is the most visited landmark in Germany, averaging over 20,000 people per day. Those of you who have been to Europe, maybe some of you, have seen it, or at least maybe thought of going there. The most celebrated work of art in this cathedral is the Shrine of the Three Kings, which contain bones and garments. The shrine is in the form of a large reliquary in the shape of a basilican church. It is made of bronze and silver and covered all over with pure gold, figurative sculptures, enamels, and gemstones. Could this reliquary contain the remains of the Three Kings? Well, the Catholic Church says so, and millions of faithful Catholics around the world believe what the Church says. So for them, it is the remains of the Three Kings. Whether or not the remains of the Magi rest in Cologne, their living identity is what's really important for understanding our gospel. Martin Luther, in his sermon for this text, for Epiphany, explains who and what the Magi really were. And I quote from here at length. Luther says, "We do not know whether there were two or three or how many there were. Their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh indicate that they came from rich Arabia or Sheba, for all three of these are valuable in that country. Those whom the evangelist here calls Magi, in German we call wise men and wise women. They can tell people all kinds of things. They have a secret knowledge of nature, and they engage in strange practices. This secret knowledge of nature is a good and a most natural one. It is the source of everything that physicians and those like them know and describe about the powers and uses of herbs, fruits, iron, minerals, and so on. It is often referred to in Scripture when in similes it mentions animals, minerals, trees, and herbs. This knowledge of nature was highly developed in Persia, that's modern-day Iran, and Arabia, and those countries of the East that studied it and looked upon it as honest knowledge, which produced wise people. The Magi also concentrated on stars and their courses in the heavens. Therefore, these Magi simply were what the philosophers were in Greece, the priests were in Egypt, and what the university scholars are in our country today. In short, they were the priests and the scholars of rich Arabia. End of Luther. It is really a disservice to the Magi to think of them as sorcerers, fortune tellers, or practitioners of magic, as they are sometimes depicted. Luther was right. The Magi were simply the most eminent scholars of their day. It was their job to collect all sorts of knowledge from around the world wherever they could find it. They would have collected religious scriptures from the Jews, the Egyptians, Africans, Arabians, Persians, Armenians, Asian Indians, Chinese, and other people, because these writings often had useful, prophetic, historical, and sometimes scientific content. They would have collected texts on astronomy from the Babylonians and Chinese because those people were the experts on those subjects. They would have collected texts on the physical sciences, geography, and geometry from the Greeks, and those are the basis of the sciences that we still practice today. Now, as the Magi read and translated and discussed the texts that they had collected, they would have discovered that the prophetic writings of the Old Testament predicted the coming of a prince born to the Jews. We know him as the Messiah. We call him in Greek Christ. The Magi would have seen that the Old Testament prophecies predicted that this Messiah would overturn both the oppressed condition of the Jewish people and usher in a new world order. And their reading of the Old Testament is the only way that the Magi could have known who Jesus was and that he came from Judea. The Old Testament told them that such a Messiah would come, to which people he would come, and in which country. This idea of a coming Messiah was not unique to the Jews. As the Magi paged through their many collected religious texts, they could have found other predictions of a Messiah. Now, all the religious texts that I will now mention were written before the time of Christ, or they had teachings that preceded the first century AD. So any of these, or all of them, could have been in the Magi's library. In the Hindu religion of India, the scriptures known as the Puranas predict the coming of a god named Kalki, who will be born into a noble family, have 8 supernatural abilities, and bring about righteousness on earth. That's interesting. In the Buddhist religion, the Pali Canon predicts the coming of the 5th incarnation of Buddha, known as Maitreya, who will teach about righteousness, and after being enlightened, will rule an earthly paradise. In the Taoist religion in China, ancient scriptures from the Han Dynasty period predict that Li Hong will appear to rescue the chosen people and set things right in heaven and earth. The most interesting of the ancient prophecies prior to Jesus' time is found in the Zoroastrian religion of Persia. The Greek used the term magi to refer to scholars of the Zoroastrian religion. So, strictly speaking, the word magi in the Greek points to origins from Persia, although the authors of our Gospels could be pointing to some other scholars of another religion or another country. One of the Zoroastrian scriptures, known as the Greater Bundahisin, predicts that the Saoxiant will bring about the resurrection of the dead in the bodies that they had before they died. This will be followed by a last judgment, which will melt the metal in the hills and the mountains, and the molten metal will then flow across the earth like a river. The river will flow down to hell, where it will annihilate the devil and the last vestiges of wickedness in the universe. The righteous will then drink of the water of life, which will confer immortality upon them. Thereafter, humankind will be like angels, without food, without hunger or thirst, or the possibility of bodily injury. All humanity will speak a single language and belong to a single nation without borders. All will share a single purpose and goal, joining with God Almighty for a perpetual exaltation of God's glory. And that was believed by the Zoroastrian religion. Did the Magi come to visit Jesus because they believed that the Jews had the only true religion? Well, we don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us that. But it is very likely that they visited Jesus because their religion and most of the major ancient religions predicted that a Messiah would come, and they didn't want to miss out on it. When scholars see this sort of convergence of many sources of phenomena, all pointing to the same thing, they suspect that it points to something significant. And so when Jesus' star appeared in the heavens, the Magi believed that the Messiah had come and that he was to be found in Judea. And guess what? They were right. As we think of Jesus during the season of Epiphany, we should marvel at how Jesus' coming was predicted by many ancient religions. The God revealed parts of his plans beforehand to the Gentiles, and that God revealed all of his plans beforehand to the Jews, and that Jesus came to offer eternal life to all people of the world who believe in him, including you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.